My younger brother, his name is Fernando, has often playfully jabbed at me. He's 2 years younger than I am. I'm 66, he's 64. he's playfully jabbed at me by saying something like this. He'll say, Mario, he doesn't call me father. Mario, I asked you what time it was, and you have just given me a lecture on the history of the development of the clock. The reason I'm beginning with that little memory of mine is because I'm about to do that to you. And I'm about to get to the point. And the point is the celebration of Christ the King. But I want to arrive there by giving you several insights that have helped me clarify my thinking on how to make not only this feast day, but all feast days and a lot of other things relevant to my life. So, let me begin by talking about pro-choice. Now, at first you're going to go, huh? How is it that we're beginning to talk about pro-choice when we're going to end up at Christ the King? Well, that's why my brother criticizes me. You see, the reason I want to begin with pro-choice, and immediately when your mind hears pro-choice, your mind goes to, oh, the difference between pro-life and pro-choice. But I'm really not wanting to go down that road. I'm really wanting to ask you the question, why is it that we emphasize, and not why, but what are the consequences of constantly emphasizing choice? Notice, in our culture, the thing that we emphasize the most is choice. You choose what you want. And ultimately, the concept, the whole concept of choice is a fundamental concept, and it is correct to be emphasized. However, the problem is this. When you emphasize choice, what's missing? And what's missing is, what should you choose? How do you choose? To emphasize the fact that you do get to choose is extremely important. But getting to choose doesn't really make you safe or better just because you get to choose. Why? Because when you choose, many times, it doesn't matter which one you choose. But other times, if you choose wrongly, you could die. Anytime you open the refrigerator and you see before you a whole host of stuff that has been in the refrigerator and you're hungry, you have a choice. You have a choice. However, if you don't know how to choose, you may choose a piece of leftover pork or barbecue that's been there for 3 or 4 weeks. And when you eat that, which is your free choice to do, as much as you want to choose, you're going to really get sick. And so choosing didn't necessarily make things better. Yes, you got to choose. You can go on with this in all kinds of areas of life. You can choose whatever you want, but there is no guarantee that what you want will not kill you and will not or will not make you sick. And so we in the United States are constantly saying, choose, choose, choose. But you know why we're a lot of us are walking around confused? Because we have no direction on what to choose. How ought we to choose so that I make sure to choose something that's going to help me? So, why am I talking about choice? Well, because it's fundamental. The human being is the only being that has the ability of conscious choice. You and no other animal have the ability to choose who you want to be, to choose what you will become. When a puppy is born, a dog, a cat, or any other an elephant, a serpent, anything, it has no choice as to what it's going to be. We are animals. There's no question about it. We're animals. Right? We are ennobled animals because we have been chosen by God and transformed to be in His image and likeness. And that image and likeness is actually the freedom to choose. You get to choose. And actually, if you think about it, that's what the story of Adam and Eve is all about. And it's a story. It's not science. It's a story about choosing wrong. Because God did not make them notice like the rest of the animals. God made them so that they could choose Him or reject Him. Notice that no other animal in creation chooses or rejects. They're already established. It's only the human being that chooses. Now, my favorite psychiatrist, and I'm sure many of you who have heard me know this, because I've said it a ton of times before, and I will say it a ton of times again. My favorite psychiatrist is a Jewish psychiatrist who's dead now by the name of Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl. He spent many years in a concentration camp, and he survived the concentration camp. And in the concentration camp, he learned that the one variable that seemed to be common to the men who were surviving was choice. Now, not just choice in and of itself, but the choice of whether to allow the suffering that they were encountering get inside of them, and many of them committed suicide, many of them just went into a catatonic state and got depressed and went crazy. But there was one thing that he found, that if he chose what was worthwhile, that it made a difference in how the experience of the concentration camp actually turned out. For him, he was going through the same suffering everybody else was. But he chose internally to keep his mind focused on a light that was inside of him. And the light seemed to be coming from the imagination of his wife's face. What he ultimately understand that it's the light of God's that's coming, but in and through the mirror of his wife's face. And it was that choice to make his internal focus worth to what was worthwhile in his life, not to just focus on the death that was going on, but on his wife's face. That's what saved him. And so he wrote a book, and the book is excellent if you ever want to read it. It's called Man's Search for Meaning, and it's an old book, way before PC ever, you know, came into being. But he says something very interesting, and this is something that, you know, I have several internal tattoos, not in my body. I don't have a single tattoo on my body, but in my mind, this is one of my tattoos. He said, "The ultimate human freedom is the ability to choose the attitude that you will have towards your experiences." Think about that. The ultimate human freedom is to choose the attitude you will have towards your experiences. Experiences come at you. They come at you. Some good, some bad. Some you may have engendered. Others may just happen to you. They come at you. The question is, how will you choose to handle them? How will you choose? And there it is again, pro-choice. There it is, once again, the whole notion of choice. But the question is, what do you choose? Okay, we've got it, Father. We know that choice is one of the most important things that we can do as human beings. It defines us as human beings. But what's this got to do with Christ the King? Well, let me get there. Remember my brother? I'm giving you the history of the clock. We've established choice. And the last 2 weeks, and I've had the 11 o'clock mass for several weeks for some reason, I've been talking about worship. Do you remember that I told you the etymology of worship? It best means ship is the art or practice of anything, and W-O-R is worth. So when you worship, what you're actually doing is saying, okay, what's the most worthwhile of all the stuff that's in my head? And whatever's the most worthwhile is what actually you worship. Worship is not coming to church and going to God, yes, God, we worship you. Let's sing a song. Yeah, God is great. But wave his flag and then go home and do whatever the hell you want. Okay? Ooh, I just said hell in church. Well, that's a good word to say in church. Okay. So, when you worship, you're actually saying, well, I know I have a choice. I know I have a choice, but which ones of the things that I'm supposed to choose is actually worth more than the other? And that's worship. The activity of worship is trying to put, okay, so I have a choice. Which one is one and two and three? And that's where we get to where we are today. I was thinking this morning as I was coming into work. This is work. This is not church. This is my job. Okay? We're really in a time of I'm calling it the calendar collision. The calendar collision. Think about the calendar collision. Because the calendar collision is actually going to put before you some choices. Remember? Choices. The calendar collision is going to put you some choices. So think about calendars. I guarantee you, every every morning when I get up, every morning, one of the very first things I do after drinking my energy drink, I don't like coffee in the morning. One of the first things I do is I look at my calendar. I pick up my iPhone, and I punch the calendar, and there is my how I'm going to be spending my day. Calendar, to a certain extent, rules my life. It rules what I do with my time. The problem is, think about calendars. Because it's not just your own personal calendar. Think about all the calendars that rule your life. There is not only your personal calendar, but of course we have the calendar of the year, the chronological calendar. But then after the chronological calendar, you have the social calendar. What's happening this week? It's Thanksgiving. Everybody's thinking, okay, what are we doing for Thanksgiving? Notice the calendar, the social calendar is really starting to kind of come into focus. And you got to make choices about your calendar. And not only that, right after that, the Christmas season is upon us. When are we going to buy our Christmas tree? When are we going to put it up? What am I going to get? So and so. People are already starting to shop. That calendar is coming. That calendar is coming. And then we go through Advent, and the church is we're preparing for Christmas, and everything is going up, and Christmas arrives. The calendar is ruling. And then we go in, and we have New Year's, and New Year's is a calendar, and it's going. So you have your personal calendar, and the calendar of the year, and then the social calendar, and let us not forget what comes Friday after Thanksgiving. It's Black Friday. Okay? It's Black Friday. That's the economic calendar. Okay? The economic calendar. And I can't remember which one it is, but isn't it the Monday after Black Friday that is the internet? Huh? I can't remember what calendar, what day, holy day of obligation that is. Okay? But it's internet shopping day. Now, I want you to notice all these calendars. And then, when all of that is said and done, you come to church on Sunday, and they say, guess what our calendar is saying? It's Christ the King. And you're sitting there, how many calendars do I have? I have my personal calendar, I have my social calendar, I have the chronological calendar, I have the economic calendar, and my family calendar. You know, I can't forget my family calendar because it doesn't mean my calendar. And then on top of that, Father, you throw in Jesus. You're throwing Jesus in the middle of all of these calendars. So, but we have a choice, right? We have a choice. We're pro-choice, right? I mean, in that sense, we celebrate choice. So amongst all of these calendars, what rules your life? Some calendar, it doesn't matter what you say up here. What actually rules what you do with your time and with your attention? What actually rules? Okay? And if you are consumed by shopping, by your can't wait, and right after Thanksgiving dinner, as you not even wash the dishes, you're about to go to the mall, you are ruled by the economic calendar. And maybe the second calendar would be the social calendar. I doubt if you go to any store and ask people, what season are we in? Nobody will know. What did we celebrate last Sunday? What calendar? What are you talking about? Because that's not the calendar in our heads. you are effectively ruled by the social calendar, your family calendar, or your economic calendar. Now, what is Christ the King telling us? So that I can start beginning the descent. See, I always think of a homily like a plane ride. Okay, you bring them up, and we've been going, and now it's just like the pilot. When the pilot says, we're now beginning our descent. Okay, we're now beginning our descent. We're not quite landing, but we're beginning our descent. So, what's this whole thing of Christ the King? Think about kings these days. About kings. Who the heck pays attention to kings or queens? I heard the other day that Queen Elizabeth, is that the queen now in England? Yeah, I can't keep her straight. But I heard that yesterday or day before yesterday, she surpassed Queen Victoria in the length of her reign. But let me ask you this. That's a triviality. Let me ask you this. Does anybody really listen to Queen Elizabeth? I mean, does she go to any of her subjects, and when she speaks, does anybody really obey and say, yes, Your Majesty, whatever you want? Nah. You know why? Because she's really not a queen. I mean, she is, but she's a ceremonial queen. She gets to walk around, you know, with her robes, and she gets to, you know, go down, and she gets to put the crown on, and everybody goes, Your Majesty, Your Majesty. But nobody does a darn thing she says. Is that what Jesus is? Is Jesus the ceremonial king of your life? And if Jesus is the ceremonial king, I mean, you're here, obviously. You're here on Sunday morning, and we're all saying, ooh, Christ the King. Let's sing a few songs about Christ the King. Yay, Jesus. But once this ceremony is over, do you do a darn thing that is important to Him? Is He really the King of your life? We don't use kings. We ought to change the name, by the way. I think we ought to start calling this, not Christ the King, but Christ the President. You know, more relevant for us. And you know why we don't, by the way? You know why we don't change it? Because He's not elected. He doesn't care if you vote or don't vote for Him. He's the King, whether you like it or not. And so the question is, okay, so it's Christ the King. The question I'm asking you to reflect on, and we're getting close to the runway. I'm asking you to reflect on, is He a ceremonial king? And when you really come down to look at your life, you really are just doing whatever you want. And you're obeying maybe the social calendar or the economic one, or maybe your personal calendar. But when it comes down to it, you never, remember pro-choice? You never choose Him as number one. Because, oh yeah, ceremonially you do, but do we really choose Him to be effectively? Because whatever calendar you choose to rule your life will be seen in what you do, in your priorities. Your priorities in life reveal whose calendar is king and who is king of your life. Jesus, for a lot of Christians, is a ceremonial king. But that's not what He claimed. And remember, in the final judgment, people will come up to Him and say, but Lord, we sang Your songs, we preached Your word, we did all these ceremonial things because we said, yay, Jesus, You're the King. And He will look at them and He will say, I do not know you. And then he starts down the list. What were your priorities? I was hungry. You didn't give me to eat. I was thirsty. You didn't see me in the person who thirsted. I was sick. You didn't see me lying on a bed. Whatsoever you did or failed to do to the least of my brethren, that you did to me or did not do for me. Yes, Jesus was your ceremonial calendar, your ceremonial king. But we're ending the church year, and now I'm coming in for a landing. We're ending the church year. And a whole swirl of calendars is going to start whirling in your mind. I'm not saying that you need to become a monk and not celebrate anything. But I am saying, and I am saying, that when you do everything that you do, you need to keep the top steady to make sure that the rest of the calendars are all being implemented correctly and not out of whack. The top is Christ the King. And it's the last feast day. And as you begin the new one, Christ the King. Who do you choose? Remember choice? Pro-choice. Who do you choose to pay the most attention to in your life? It's your choice. It's your choice. I always tease, but my teasing is serious. When people ask, you know, I always tell people I have four priorities in life. And what's my first one? God. Him. God. Second one, people. You. Third one, Apple computer. Fourth, Starbucks. Okay. Now, those two are just playing, okay? But it's serious about the first two. Jesus cannot be the ceremonial king of your life. He has to be the de facto, the one who, in effect, you pay attention to. Christ the King. Real king or just ceremonial? You have a choice.